You're a runner. From the starting line to the finish line, you know that every breath and every step is a gift. You train hard and always welcome a new challenge. When the training gets tough, you stay focused and committed to your goals. You are strong, healthy, fast. Now you are ready to take your training to the next level. Hey, endurance athletes, welcome back to the Freedom to Run podcast. This is episode 24, and I'm your host, Jeremy Hafes. Have you ever discovered something by accident and then figure out you are truly passionate about it? Lindsey Starr experienced this back in 2011 when he started running as a way to be more active. He quickly realized his love for running and was instantly hooked to endurance sports. Within a year, he had completed 9 half marathons and ran his first marathon in January 2013. Since then, he started Sharp Endurance, where he inspires others to achieve their full potential by sharing stories about his training, races, and product reviews. While Linz is running the marathons and half marathons, he is also fundraising for various charities such as the American Cancer Society and Stand Up to Cancer. He is a decorated runner with many prestigious honors such as Marathon Maniac and a Half Maniac. He is also a brand ambassador for Garmin, Skechers Performance, Orange Mud, and Pro Compression. In my conversation with Linz, we talk about all of these things and much more. And now, on to the conversation with Linz. Hey, Linz, thanks for joining me on the podcast today.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited for our chat. And before we get going, lay the foundation for how you first got started in running.
It was a total accident, complete fluke. When I was in high school and middle school, I actually hated running. I never understood the point. And I was always the kid that was like, why are we running? We're not going anywhere. This is so dumb. I was that kid. And fast forward to my mid-20s, I was having these realizations that, hey, I'm just coming home from work and just sitting at home, eating junk food in my bed, watching TV, which sounds like a dream come true. But when you have hypertension and diabetes and all kinds of fun stuff that runs in your family and onsets at an early age, it's not probably the best decision to be stagnant. So I was like, maybe I'll just go for like a 30-minute jog. 30 minutes sounds like an adequate, you know, number, enough to, you know, get your heart rate going, and I can, you know, carve out 30 minutes of my time. So I just started with, you know, some brisk walking and some jogs just around my neighborhood, you know, just trying to get up and move. Fast forward again to a few weeks later, I actually had a really crummy day at work and came back and I was infuriated. I was upset. I was pissed off and I ended up running. And I don't know how far I went because I didn't have a Garmin or anything. I just know that I went running and I came home when I felt like it. I to this day can't even tell you how far that was. And I came back and I just felt really good. And I was like, wow, there's something to this running thing. Like, that feels comfortable. This feels comfortable. I like that. I like this feeling that gave me. I'm going to do this again tomorrow. Maybe not as fast, but I'm going to do this again tomorrow. And I did it again tomorrow and it just became a thing. And I said, hey, I should go get fitted for some running shoes because apparently this is a thing now. And like 6 months later, I signed up for my first half marathon in 2012. And I've been hooked ever since. So it was a complete accident, but I'm really happy that I encountered such a wild accident.
Yeah, that's a cool story. It sounds like you really experienced, yeah, the runner's high.
Yeah, and you know, it was really just about like, damn, that feels good. Like, there's something to this, right? And I don't know that I necessarily felt like the runner's high in that moment, but I knew coming off of that I felt much better and happier with myself, and that's the part that was really cool.
That is really cool. And then that has led into Sharp Endurance. Talk a little bit about that. What exactly Sharp Endurance is?
Sure. So when I first started blogging, I actually blogged under, you know, the blog name C Sharp Run, and I started my blog about 5.5, almost going on 6 years ago. And honestly, I started my blog because I got tired of people asking me how my race was. And I got tired of repeating myself. I'll be completely transparent. I was like, if you really care about how my race went, I wrote about it, go read about it. It sounds really rude, but that is literally why I started doing it. And I called it C Sharp Run because it was, you know, something quick and easy. Sharp is a middle, is a, not a middle name, it's a nickname I've had since like high school. So I was like, well, we'll just carry this forward. This will work. So C Sharp Room was born, and apparently people liked it. I just kind of put it out there for friends and family, and then somehow Google picked it up. I was doing SSO and didn't realize it, and I was getting traffic from all over the country, then all over the world, and I was like, oh, there are people that are reading this. This is interesting, and people were gravitating towards my writing style and my storytelling, which I like to say, and frankly, I think it's a little unique how I go about writing and telling stories. It's a gift that I've always possessed. I love creative writing. I'm a creative person by nature, so it's a fun little outlet for me, which I guess is one reason I still do it. About 3 years ago, I rebranded it to be Sharp Endurance, and I just wanted it to be honestly a little more grown up. I feel like I had evolved as a runner. I had evolved as a person on social media, and maybe I didn't want to run anymore. Maybe I wanted to do other types of endurance sports, like an Ironman one day, perhaps, if I can build up the confidence to learn to swim, you know, things like that. So I wanted it to be a more holistic space, and it's boomed ever since then. It's not just a blog anymore. It's social media channels. It's digital brand consulting with other races and marketing firms, creating content, which is really awesome. And that's, again, the creative stuff that fuels what I do. So it started off as a blog, which is my baby, and I love it. And I'll keep it as long as I can until, you know, that chapter closes. But even then, I'll probably still keep the domain around because I think there's a lot of great content out there. 5.5 years of content. That's good stuff out there. So I'm just thankful that people, one, care about the crap I have to say, and two, continue to find something that helps them no matter where they are in their journey.
Yeah, the blog and the site is fantastic. You have a ton of great posts on there and great information. I love everything about it. And one of the kind of your little sub headline is empowerment through motion. Mm-hmm. Does that have any other underlying meaning to it, or describe the power of that for you?
The power of that is honestly moving forward brings about some amazing results. And being empowered to be strong enough and courageous enough to start moving is always the first step. I always tell people, you, and this is true no matter what you're working on or pursuing, but running specifically, it's going to give you so much back, but you have to put the work into it, and it can be scary to start. I'm talking to people now that are nervous about starting to run. And I don't know that I can do it. 6.5 miles seems like it's a really long way. You know, be empowered. You know, you have to love yourself, and you have to believe that you can do it and want to do it so you can, you know, reach your goal, whatever that is. So being empowered to move forward no matter where you are, and knowing that, you know, nothing is too scary. I'm playing with the idea of doing my first 100 miler next year. So that scares the living daylights out of me, but I have to move forward and I have to train to get there. So where there's one mountain, there's always another, and you just keep moving forward. That's what that means to me.
Yeah, that's really, really good. And so true on the fact of, yeah, somebody who wants to get running. Oh yeah. 6.5 miles. It seems like a lot. It is a lot for you, but you know what? Just like when you started, 30 minutes, it's all it takes. And look at what you're doing now. Now you're thinking about signing up for an Ironman, and you're thinking about doing 100 mile. That just didn't happen. That took time.
Yeah. And it's still going to take time. And that's what makes, you know, this whole journey so exciting, right? It, you know, when you feel like you've done everything you can in one particular space, there's always another space to go explore. And you're only, you know, limited by the limits you impose on yourself. So I get a little emotional talking about it, honestly, because it's kind of exciting. Like, there's so much out there to enjoy and explore. Trail running, road running, you name it. If you want to be really fast and run 5 and 10 Ks and do marathons all the time, hey, fantastic. Everybody has their lane. My lane is kind of all over the place. I've just kind of gotten to the space now where I just do the things I want to do and the things that make me happiest. And I don't worry about the rest of it. And I found that it does wonders for my mental health that way. And I, you know, I can fight and I can pursue the particular course records or not that I choose to at the time. So it's a very freeing feeling if you think about it.
Yes, so true. And that is really one of the main messages that I want to get across overall with the podcast. It's freedom to run. If we want to run trails, we run trails or a road. Or if we want to go for a PR or a course record or whatever it may be, or simply we're just finish, everyone has the power or empowered to have their own freedom and choose to run as fast or as long or as slow as they want.
Absolutely. And what's also really fun about that is I kind of drove this home in a couple blog posts, and it's kind of an underlying theme in a lot of the things that I write and a lot of the things that I say, is I always encourage people not to get caught up in the hype and get caught up in what other people think of their times. The only person that matters to is you. And if you are happy with where you are, then be happy where you are, because there are a ton of people that aren't even running and don't know what your journey or your struggle is. So don't worry about it too much. I fell victim to that for a while, and it can suck. We're competitive by nature. We're humans. It's what it is. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be the best version of yourself. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, having a goal out there and chasing it down, but do it for yourself and do it for the right reasons.
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in what the next person is doing, or, oh, I want to be like that runner or run that time, instead of just focusing on myself or yourself and then just maximizing the abilities that we have as individuals.
Absolutely. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, you're slow as somebody's fast, or vice versa, right? So when you say that in perspective for people, they're like, oh, well, that's true. I was like, yeah, you're running, you know, an 8:30 mile, which is nothing to shake your finger at, but somebody's running a 13, and that's as fast as they can get. And they're happy in that 13 minutes. So everybody should be celebrated, and everybody should be, you know, applauded for whatever their effort is and whatever, you know, they choose to do. Like, let people live, man.
Yeah. Definitely. That's some really good stuff. And when you're training and you're running, do you go with a group, or do you prefer to run alone or with a partner?
Depends. typically I train by myself. I find that it's cathartic, to do that alone. So I do my training runs at home alone, but I am going to start my Skechers Performance Los Angeles Marathon training cycle here in a few weeks. And I will be doing my long runs with the Pasadena Pacers, which is one of the fantastic run groups that I've had the privilege of one speaking at and participating with a couple times. So shout out to them. And they're going to take me through my training cycle this year. One, because I would love the accountability. Two, I hate doing long runs alone. I think it's awful. I think it's torture for myself anyway. And I could always use, you know, people around. And I also struggle with pacing. So I can learn a lot going through that training cycle. Again, it's been a while since I've done a full one. So I'm excited to, in a sense, almost start over. And I'm excited to, you know, be able to put my best foot forward and make that happen. So I'm looking forward to that. But usually when I'm running, I'm either running by myself or I'll pick up a friend along the way. I run a lot of local races in the area. So, you know, you see people you know that you met, you know, along the way. And sometimes you're like, hey, let's just run together. Especially if it's not a time thing for me, let's just run and hang out and chat and just enjoy. And I've done a lot of that recently. If I'm racing, I'll race alone. I'll put the headphones on, the sunglasses on, I put my head down and just hit the road, no pun intended. But yeah, I mean, it can go either way for me.
Yeah, I like that approach too. There's some runs where some days where you just want to get out there and run on your own, and there's maybe a tough workout, or like you said, the long runs where having that partner or that person next to you to help you get you through those tough moments and tough workouts is crucial.
Yeah, and I tell people all the time, you know, running is an individual sport, but the community that brings us together and binds us is what's really special. So be cognizant of that. Definitely tap into that when necessary and when you want to. And some days you might not be feeling all that social, and some days you might be all about it. And it's, again, be true to who you are and be authentic to yourself whenever possible.
Hey, I'm looking at the tour dates on your site, and speaking of the social aspect of it, yeah, you get maybe some training runs on your own, but you're getting a lot of time with other runners around you in the half marathons and marathons and all these other races. How many races do you have set for 2017?
Oh my God, I don't even know.
There's a lot.
And what's funny is that list is short. Compared, if you like scroll down to like 2015 and like 2016, where I've actually added things, like I'm looking at the same list you are. Let me see here. Let me see what's actually happening. Some of these have happened and some of them didn't. Yeah, like a couple of these didn't. So I know I definitely have the Santa Monica Classic coming up, which is my favorite 5 and 10K, Long Beach Half Marathon, Space Rock Trail, Wine and Dine Half is probably going to happen, my Turkey Trot. So yeah, about 6 or 7 more races for the year, which makes a load of sense. And I have to get busy on next year's schedule, which will probably also be a little more slimmer than this year, only because I want to focus on different types of race experiences and not necessarily racing so much. I've actually had a lot of downtime this summer, which has been really nice. So I'm enjoying, you know, rest and being able to focus a little more rather than jumping from race to race to race to race, which, believe me, can be exhausting.
Yeah, for sure. And are you going for any sort of like half marathons in every state or marathons in every state or anything like that? Or I guess any other deeper meaning behind the races that you pick?
No, I wish I could say there was, but there isn't. I do races that seem interesting to me in places that I find to be fascinating. I do a lot of local races here because I live in Southern California. So I have beaches, desert, and mountains all within an hour of me. So I can do them all. And I do. Mm-hmm. And that's really awesome. I've run Boston 3 times. I did London this year. I've run Chicago and New York. So I have 2 more World Marathon majors to go until they add a few of them. And that's really like my coup de grace bucket list kind of thing. But I marked off a ton of states and a ton of great cities that I would have never visited unless I've run through them. And it's really been, you know, fantastic. But no, I don't really have a particular, method to my madness. If it looks interesting, I'm probably going to do it.
Yeah. I like that approach. Has there been one event or a race that stuck out to you as maybe your favorite?
Oh my God, you're going to make me pick one?
Well, and I was maybe going to talk about that. I'm like, hey, yeah, or just one that maybe comes to mind at first, maybe not necessarily your favorite, but one that comes to mind.
I'll give you my top 3. How's that?
There you go. I like that.
Okay. In no particular order. So the first one that comes to mind, cause it's so recent, is the London Marathon. I did that this year. It was always my dream marathon because I've always fallen in love with like the city of London. Never been to London, so got to enjoy the city and everything it had to offer. I had the best time over there. I did not want to come home. It was tough to get on the plane to come home, even though I had a cold when I was over there. But London is a hoot and a holler. If anybody gets the chance to go, get your behind over there. It's fantastic. Second, again, in no particular order, is the Los Angeles Marathon. Without a doubt, probably hands down my favorite marathon on earth. It's such a great tour of the city of LA, from Dodger Stadium all the way to Santa Monica. You go right through the city. You see all the cool stuff. So if you ever get to LA, Jeremy, let me know. We'll get you set up. We'll go on this great tour of LA, and yeah, you'll see why it's just such a fantastic course. Like, stadium to see, 26.2 miles, people everywhere. You get a great taste of the culture here. I could talk about it for hours, but I won't. I'll spare you. But it's a hoot and a holler. And I think my third favorite that stuck out would be New York, the marathon in New York. I didn't expect to love that race as much as I did. But it's actually my marathon PR right now. It's still my marathon PR. I don't know how the hell I did that. But it was just, if you love metropolitan cities and people lining the streets and screaming and Dunkin' Donuts beanies, then that is the marathon for you. I tell you what.
Yeah, that's a really good list. And obviously, yeah, with all the races that you've done, tons of memories, probably unique memories to each one. And that's a really, yeah, pretty exclusive list. Yeah, New York, London, LA, all great cities in their own right put on great events.
Oh my God. And they're all so different, right? What's really fun about running through these different cities and these countries for that matter is you get to see the culture. But what the common thread between all of them is people cheering for the human spirit. And that we've all seen the quote, if you lose faith in humanity, go watch a marathon. Like, we've all seen that, but it's so true. Like, people love watching marathons. They love cheering people on and taking a look at, wow, these people are kicking ass. And it's just this great feeling of vibrancy that just happens, and it brings up the best in people. So I dig it. I love it. It's one of my favorite things.
That's cool. What would be your favorite distance, if you have a favorite distance to race?
The half marathon.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. I like that race. It's just far enough to where, yeah, it's a really good challenge. You can go, you can push yourself, and recovery time is shorter, right?
Exactly. I don't feel like I get hit by a bus the next day.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, for sure. And so as you're getting ready to start training for the Skechers Performance Los Angeles Marathon, what does a typical training week look like for you?
2 3-mile runs during the week and whatever the long run is over the weekend. And on my days where I'm not running, I usually do some cross training, either some high intensity, just like cardio workouts or strength training, or even yoga, which I'm a big fan of to keep, you know, ligaments and things and muscles, you know, loose and limber. And of course, adequate rest when necessary. But that's usually what it looks like. I actually really enjoyed the training cycles when I do them. Once I actually get in the groove, it takes me about 3 or 4 weeks to get used to it. And I always remind myself, you know, if you don't train, you're going to blow up and you're going to hurt and it's going to be awful. You're going to hate yourself. So I tell people this all the time when they ask me for my advice. I was like, do the training runs. Don't be like me and just miss some because you just don't want to. You will regret it. You will hate yourself. Go and do your training run. You need the distance. You need the time. You need the muscle memory to be built up. Like, there's so many other things that are happening with your body and your mind that you don't even realize when you're going through these training cycles. So you have to make sure that you're doing all the right things for yourself, because nothing is worse than getting out to a marathon and blowing up at like mile 15 and you're like, oh no, now I have a, you know, 11 mile walk to the finish line. This is awful. Not that's ever happened to me.
Each workout leading up to the race day is so important. It's easy to maybe take a few off or lose motivation in the middle of a training cycle, or just life happens. So many things can happen.
Yeah, and you know, I tell people, you know, life happens. Missing one run isn't going to ruin your training cycle, but you have to be as consistent as possible, and you have to keep on trucking and keep on plugging forward, because if you don't, you're gonna regret it, and it's gonna suck, and you're not gonna have anyone to blame but yourself. So it's all about accountability, which is again why I'm choosing to run with the Pacers this year in Pasadena. It's a little bit of a drive for me, but it's worth it. They're a free club. They have a great reputation. They've been around 30 years. So sometimes you need to try and, you know, shake some stuff up and try something different to stay on track. And I'm no different than anybody else. I need help and accountability too.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be a new change up for you. That'll be a good opportunity.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think they start on like the 23rd or the 24th of September. So really looking forward to that.
And then as you're deep into a marathon training cycle or even a half marathon, what's some specific recovery stuff that you do to keep your body working and balanced and injury free?
Rest, yoga, and Epsom salt baths are my favorite things.
Those are all key components, aren't they?
Yeah. Your rest days are just as important as your drill days. Because your body does just need to not do anything for a while. That's important. Your cardiovascular system needs to relax. Your muscles need to rebuild. Having the right amount of protein and getting everything to your body so you're in tip-top shape is important. Yoga helps keep everything moving and in balance, which is really good, and it's great for your mind as well. And just soaking in a bathtub is just really nice for me. Grab a book, you know, get some music and just relax. It's like a nice little reward for yourself. You don't want to do that every day, of course, but you want to just, you know, give yourself an opportunity to relax mentally and just unwind and get lost. Marathons and half marathons and 5 and 10 Ks, whatever your distance is, it's just as much mental as it is physical. So you need to take care of your mind as well.
That's so true. And what is it mentally that keeps you motivated? Because you have a lot of races, a lot of training time dedicated to make sure that you maximize the race that you're signed up for and is on your schedule. What keeps you motivated to stay with that?
I don't like to fail. I don't like the feeling of, I know I could have done better. And every race is different. Every situation is different. Every circumstance is a little different. And if you ask me for a specific race, what motivated me, I could probably tell you. But I think the common thread is get your behind to the finish line, because losers don't get sprinkles on their ice cream. You know what I mean? Like, you just have to keep moving forward. You don't want to say, well, I just quit. There was a race when I did Rebel Mount Charleston this year when I was sick. It was the week after London. I had no business running this race. I was sick. I knew I was sick. I was sick on the plane coming home. Imagine a 13-hour flight from London to LA. Yeah, not fun.
No, not fun at all.
Not fun. But I had to go to Vegas for work, so I signed up for Mount Charleston because it's right around the corner. I said, why not? This will be fun. It won't be too bad. What's the worst that can happen? I woke up in the morning and I told myself if I felt crummy, I wouldn't go. Well, I did not feel crummy. Showed up to the start line. I was fine. Within the first quarter mile of that race, I said I've made a bad decision. And the thing about Revel Mount Charleston and all the Revel races is they're all downhill. They're made for BQs. They're meant to be fast. And they're point to point. So there's no real way to get you to the finish line if you're in the middle. I actually tried to quit 3 times.
Wow.
I literally was dying. The weather, it was cold, it was windy. I actually ended up hiding in a porta potty for 20 minutes just because I could not take the cold anymore. They're actually quite cozy. I remember I was at the mile 8 aid station, and I was like, someone needs to call somebody. Like, they need to come get a golf cart. Somebody needs to take me to the finish. I can't do it. And it was the first time I'd ever said, I cannot do this. I'm done. I want to quit. And they had to radio somebody. Nobody ever came. I sat on the side of the road for 40 minutes. A spectator was nice enough to bring me a blanket to wrap up in. I was sobbing on the side of the road. I was having a meltdown. It was the most dramatic thing I can remember in like recent memory. I was frustrated. I was hurting. Like, my head was pounding. I was cold. I was like freaked out because I didn't know what the hell was going on. And then I looked down at my watch. I actually stopped my Garmin because I just couldn't deal anymore. I just couldn't even look at it. But I realized I'd been sitting there for 40 minutes and nothing had happened. So that's a whole nother conversation in terms of safety, which I've already relayed to the race director. But I was like, you know, if I'm walking like 12-minute miles, I could have literally been done by now. Mm-hmm. So then that made me mad. So wow. I was able to keep the blanket. The lady was really nice. And I literally walked to the finish line and I was stomping because I was so pissed off. I was like, had I just kept moving, I would have been done.
Wow. That's crazy.
So that's something that fueled me to the finish line. And I learned a lot of lessons that day. How about, like, don't run or don't attempt half marathons when you're sick and you know you have no business. But also, just keep moving to the finish line. If you're able-bodied, you can get there, and you're not going to fall over dead, of course. Listen to your body. But I was fueled by adrenaline and anger. And everybody that saw me that day knew I was not happy. So that's one of the things in recent memory where you say, what fuels you to the finish line? Anger. That's one of them. But just, you know, perseverance, like, especially if it's a race I've done before, it's like you've done this. And when you've done, you know, 50 plus half marathons and almost 30 marathons, you've done this. Like, get off your behind and kick ass. Like, go get it done. And that's pretty much where my mind goes to. You've done this. You've done it many times. Finish it. Suck it up. Finish it. So we can go home.
Yep, I like that. And one other thing is you've ran some races for fundraising and charities. Does that have another element to a motivator for you?
It adds a layer of motivation and complexity. So, you know, when you're out there, first of all, people are giving you money to do to do something you want to do. And you always have to be aware of that, right? Like, people are dipping into their pockets and giving you their hard-earned money, donating to very worthy causes, of course. That's not going to me. I don't get to keep it. But I'm asking you guys for money so I can go do something and you can watch me do it. So, one, you don't want to ever let those people down, because those people, you know, have an investment in you and an investment in this charity that you've chosen. And I typically choose charities that are all about cancer research and giving back to cancer communities and things like that. That's something that's near and dear to my heart. So when I ran Boston for the 3 times, you know, I tell people, you know, running a marathon's pretty easy compared to someone with stage 4 cancer that might not wake up tomorrow. Like, yep. That kind of sucks. Like, come on, perspective, right? Or, you know, a good friend of mine, I actually ran in honor of his father, who actually is in remission from cancer. And that was our 2nd year in Boston together. And it was like, hey, we're doing this for your dad. And we're happy that the hospital was able to, you know, make him a success story. Like, this is really awesome. Like, I love this. When I went to London, I did it for Cancer Research UK, which supports various cancer organizations all throughout the United Kingdom. So that was really great. And I partnered with Fred's team for New York on top of my ASICS sponsorship responsibilities. So I double dipped that year. So that was insane. So yeah, it absolutely adds a layer of complexity, because you don't want to let those people down, and you don't want to have people looking at you like, well, you just did this for the bib. Well, no, I didn't. I did it because it's a cause I absolutely believe in. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to give back and be a decent human being, because I think that's what matters. And the people that contribute and donate are, you know, feeding into that story and that narrative. And, you know, again, we're a community of people, we're a community of runners, we're a community of human beings. And however we can weave that tapestry of just a lovely story and make, you know, this crummy world a better place day by day, then I'm all about it.
Yeah. The point that you make of adding the layer of complexity, that's a really good one, because yeah, earlier we talked about, yeah, we can run just by ourselves, worry about yourself of however fast you want to run or wherever you want to run. But then when you run for something bigger than yourself and for a purpose, yeah, that's where the complexity comes in. It's almost like even added maybe pressure too, of not necessarily that you have to go out and run fast, but you have to go out and do the training runs and show up for the race, raise the money, bring the awareness to the cause and all that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, totally. Everything you just listed, and then being a good steward and a good representative of whatever charity you're representing, because you're an extension of them at that time, right? So I want to be a good steward. I want to be mindful, and I want to be respectful of your brand and your identity and bring awareness to that, because that's why we're all here at the end of the day. I'm here to run, and I, as a runner, bring money to your organization. So one, I need to understand and ensure that your organization is something that I align with and stand for. And two, when I go to these expos or I go to the events, that I'm actually engaging and welcoming and participating, because those things also matter. Like, all of this matters, and it's stuff I love to do. That's why I keep doing it like a crazy person. But I love it so much. I love hearing stories. I love giving back and being philanthropic and using your abilities and your gifts to help other people is a blessing.
Yeah, so true, because truly every gift or every breath and every step that we run as runners, that's a gift, every single one, and we can't forget that. And what if somebody has run some marathons, but they are maybe called to want to run for a charity or something like that? Do you have any mm-hmm. tips for that person to get started?
Yeah, just head over to whatever race website that you're thinking about, be it that be Boston, something smaller like LA that has a huge charity program. Doesn't matter. Most of them have some kind of a charity page, and just do your research. Find a charity that resonates with you. You might already have one in mind. If you don't see them listed, that does not mean they may not have a connection. So reach out to either a local chapter or the organization at large and say, I'm going to use this as an example. Hi, I'm Mary. I'm looking to raise money and awareness. For example, Autism Speaks. So she'd reach out to Autism Speaks and see if they have any connections with any races. And if they do, then they can put them in connection with that particular race contact or they can take care of it themselves. Every race is a little bit different. So definitely check out the website. If there's something that you're passionate about, reach out to them through that contact link on the race website, or reach out to the organization directly, because maybe they have tried to get in with the race, but to no success. And sometimes it has to do with interest as well. So if you're gauging interest, then that's going to it's just going to help them in the long run. So definitely hit those websites up and don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah, those are all really good tips. And people can just do, a single race, and they don't have to, there's really no obligations beyond that unless they want to do future races or join another charity or organization, right?
Usually you're signed on for that particular race unless it's a series of challenges or things like that. So you're one and done. You hit your fundraising minimum. Of course, you want to try to exceed that if possible. That's why we're here. And some charities really have some really great benefits. Some feed you like the night before. Some have like really cool like awards banquets. Like it's a thing. Like it's a lot of fun. And I'm not the most people-y kind of person, like to meet like new people, like strangers. It's weird. But you wouldn't think that meeting me. But like you go to those things and you meet people and you're just, wow, like these people are like really great folks. Like let's all just chat and just have a good time. Like, so yeah, definitely recommend it. I think everybody should do it once, honestly.
Yeah, I've ran a couple of races for Team and Training and some other organizations, and it was like you said, the meal before and then the post race tent and all, just everything that they do for the entire race, it's fun.
Absolutely. Tons of fun. Highly recommended. I should probably figure out which one I'm doing next, actually.
Well, speaking of what's next, what are some of your goals outside of just your upcoming races? Did you do the 50K that's on your tour dates list from the
shoot? I did do Valencia 50K. It almost killed me. It was a very tough course. It is full of hills, but I was with my friend Leslie and we had the best time. It was really tough. I won't lie to you. The distance wasn't the challenge. It was the typography of the landscape we were running. Sure. It is hilly, but it was a lot of fun. So I got the itch. I got the ultra itch. Yeah. So I've already reached out to some people. And my next big goal is to run my 100 miler next summer. Next fall, I think Javelina is in October. Yes. So it'll probably be that. So I've already set up some 50K, some 50 milers in my 100K races to build up to that. So I'll be doing that over the next year, pretty much getting myself ready for Javelina 100.
That'll be great. Yeah, that'll be fun watching you progress and train and build up to that. You said it's next fall of 2018? Yeah. Okay.
Fall of 2018, next October.
That'll be great. That'll be a training journey and a huge accomplishment for sure. And yeah, ultras are rising in popularity, and I'm sure the terrain won't be easy at Javelina though either, right?
Javelina is actually a very deceptively easy course because it's primarily flat. So you're getting about 20,000 feet of gain on each loop, but it's so mild that you don't recognize it when it's happening. So it's really easy to go out too fast to blow up. It's 5 20-mile loops. So yeah, to think about that. Like it's not too hilly, it's not too, you don't get the, you know, oh, I have a hill, I can walk this and hike it. There's no active recovery there. Mm-hmm. So you have to be very, very mindful and very careful and strategic about how you run that race.
Yeah, the loops might be good for a first 100 miler though, from an aid and pacer standpoint though.
Oh yeah, a lot of people love this race. It's a big party. It's huge, supported. People come out in droves for this race. This and the Coldwater Rumble, which I believe happens in February, which is another one of their 100 milers, which apparently I now also have to do because the buckles match. It's a thing. Like symmetry, it matters. Great pacing, great crew support, great just general organization. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really, really, really excited. I'm probably more excited than I probably should be. So as soon as 2018 registration opens, I will be signing up.
That is exciting. And kind of the ultra bug is starting to get on me too. I haven't actually ran an ultra yet, but it's going to be on the race schedule soon for me too. So it's itching my running shoes.
Do you have your eyes on anything in particular?
Nothing in particular. Obviously the Western States 100 would be fantastic just because that's such a popular one. To do, but as far as there's some 50Ks and 50 milers around the Lincoln, Kansas City, even Iowa, just throughout the Midwest. And now while you don't get the altitude, the hills can still be pretty brutal. So the terrain would be tough.
Well, I'll be cheering you on and I can't wait to see what you do.
Yeah. Thanks. And then an Ironman, is that on the long-term goal as well?
Long-term goal, I don't know. Well, I do know where to start. I just don't have the time to focus and dedicate to it because it's a serious training thing if I'm going to do it. And it's going to be, again, a thing over a year. And I'm going to be the crazy person that doesn't do a half Ironman. I'm going straight to 140 if I do it because I'm afraid if I do a half and I don't like it, that I'll never get to 140. So I'm just going to do the 140. But I know that that's going to take me, a year of dedicated focus to get to, and I'll get there. I'm not in any particular rush, and I'm not sure which one I want to do. I have my eye on Whistler, Canada, because I love Canada, and if I'm going to be suffering for 15 hours, I might as well have beautiful scenery around me kind of thing. I would love to do an Ironman, but I just have to give it the focus and respect that it deserves for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. No taking the full Ironman lightly in training. It's going to take a long commitment. And yeah, the scenery part of it, you're right, because when you're out there for 12 plus hours or however long it'll take you, the scenery is going to be so important, something to look at.
I can't have my music, so you got to give me something. So everyone's like, well, you should do, Arizona. It's so close. I don't want to go right around Tempe Town Lake. I don't want to do that. Like, if I'm going to have, this legendary moment in my mind, right, and I'm going to be swimming for 30 miles, and I'm going to be biking for 1,000 and running a marathon at the end of all of it because clearly that wasn't enough torture for the day, then I at least want it to be someplace beautiful and say, yeah, this is what I did, and I did it here, and it was picturesque, and I can have these moments captured in my brain. Because I guarantee you, if I do one, I'm never doing another one. So I have to make it a good one.
Yep, stack it in the list of memories that you have.
Absolutely.
Yep. And this question might be tough for you, similar to kind of maybe your favorite event. And maybe it's not even your greatest memory, of just one memory that you'd like to share that comes to mind since you started running. What's been a memory from running and racing?
Oh, man. Again, you're going to make me pick one. So there's so many, but the one that comes to mind is my very first marathon, which is coming up on its five-year anniversary next year, which is crazy to say because I always said I'd never run a marathon either. Almost 30 later, here I am.
Yeah.
So I ran my first marathon at Walt Disney World when it was the 20th anniversary. And I did it as a goofy challenge. So I did the half marathon the day before, and then I ran the marathon the following day.
Cool.
Because clearly I'm ill. Now, this is my first marathon. I did not do a full training cycle with it, but I was running a lot. So I had a lot of base mileage underneath me, and I knew I would just be able to push through it, and I did. It was painful, but I did it. And I did it with a lot of strangers. I met some folks on Twitter randomly. Because I said I was a little nervous about my marathon, and some people responded and said, hey, me too, me too, me too. I said we should all run together and support one another, and we did. And the majority of us are all still friends to this day. We're extremely close, and we actually conga-lined across the finish line at Walt Disney World. They actually played conga music for us and everything. It was the most obscene thing you'll ever see. It's on YouTube somewhere. Someone actually filmed it. But it was, that has got to be, one of the most favorite things, famous favorite things I've ever done, because it's just so random. We ran that marathon at sub-7, so it was a 6:54 marathon. I was in so much pain, but I was like, wow, I ran a marathon and I did it as a goofy. I'm clearly sick in the brain. There's something to this. So yeah, that's probably one of my favorite memories.
Yeah, that's so cool. I was, and yeah, in a place like Disney, and but then you add in the Goofy for the challenge there and making those memories with the other runners, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was wild. And again, like, all of these people, like, I'm still friends with. We talk all the time. Like, we hang out when we're at, like, we make plans to see each other. And we've gotten extremely close over the years. I've seen some of these folks have kids and watch their kids grow up, like, watch their families grow. Like, we're extremely close. Like, I love these people. They're fantastic.
Yeah, there's something special about the running community and, yeah, the fact that it can do something like that from just a race.
Yeah, and really from a tweet, because we had never met each other a day before that race. We literally met for the first time at the corral. So one of us could have been a chain murderer, and nobody would have ever known. Yeah. I'm convinced it probably is, but it's probably me. Who knows? But the bottom line is, like, we're all close, and everybody's spouses probably all looked at us like we were crazy because we went and hung out with strangers at 4 a.m. Like, who does that? But it was a blast. We don't really regret it. Now everybody's like, oh my God, everybody's like best friends. So it's great.
That is great. What's been one life lesson that you've learned from running?
Listen to your body and don't do dumb stuff. And that is learned from the story I told you about from Mount Charleston. It's okay to say no. And it's okay to not show up, and it's okay to put yourself first. The world isn't going to stop spinning if you don't show up to a race. The sky is not going to come crashing down. Nothing's going to explode. So that was a hard lesson because, you know, like I said earlier, I don't like to fail or give up, but it's a hard lesson. Like, it's real. Like, you're allowed to not be someplace. You're allowed to say, you know what? I just don't feel good. Or I'll do even better. I just don't feel like it. Because some days you don't. Some days you're just not in the mood. Some days you wake up and you just don't feel it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That just makes you a human. So if you're not feeling it, if you just don't want to, don't. Put yourself first, practice self-care, and be the best person that you can be. And you don't owe anybody else an explanation around it.
Yeah, so true. That's really good stuff. What would be one piece of advice that you'd give a brand new runner that came to you?
Pick a race and sign up so you don't chicken out. And secondly, start slow and don't worry about your pace. I'm actually coaching a couple people right now that are just brand new to running. And they text me all the time. Oh, my pace is so slow. First of all, stop telling me your pace is slow. You're starting out. You have to start somewhere. Do you think my pace was fast when I started? My pace still isn't fast, really. But fast is also relative. So you have to live in the mile that you're in. You have to establish your base and just get comfortable where you are. When you're comfortable, we can move forward and we can build from there. So that's why I tell people, don't get so caught up on what the Garmin says. You just need to go out there and log the miles and log the time. We can refine and fine tune the machine later, but we have to build the car first. Everybody has this like idea that people will just start as runners and they just lace up and they hit the pavement at a 7-minute pace. It's not how it works. You know, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy, and it's going to take how long it takes. And just relax and just enjoy the journey. And you're going to have great days. You're going to have really crappy days. I have really crappy days all the time. It's because I'm a human. It is what it is. Olympians have bad days. Nobody is exempt. So live in the mile that you're in. Get you some really great shoes. Focus on saying, hey, love yourself and encourage yourself. Hey, like, I did my run today, and I'm happy I at least got up and did my run. That's awesome.
Yeah, good stuff there for, yeah, signing up for the race to hold you accountable. And then, yeah, accepting where you are right here, right now on this day as a runner. And then just trying out to go out the next day and to be a little bit better. And over time, yeah, that 9-minute mile becomes an 8:30 and then an 8. And over time, all of a sudden you're at race day and you're faster.
Exactly. And again, everybody's journey is different. And everybody's journey is going to be different. And I think that's what makes runners so special as humans. And our journeys are so special because no two runner stories are the same. Everybody's going to have a unique perspective. Everybody's going to have their own ideas. And when you come together with that community and you get to pick people's brains and you get to find out where people started and how they started and where they are and how maybe they started in one place and now they're at a completely different place, whether they've gotten faster or slower, it's just really interesting. Like, just talk to people and just ease into it, but don't put the expectations of other people on yourself. You are the person that's in charge of your expectations. So if you want to run an 8-minute mile, what do you have to do to get there? If you start out, I guarantee you're probably not going to jump right into that, and you're not going to be able to sustain it. So how do you sustain it long term? Like, build a plan and stick to it, and you can achieve whatever you want, but it's going to be on your terms when you do it.
That's really good stuff, Linz, and this has been a lot of fun. And how can people connect with you and find you online?
Really simply at sharpendurance.com and at sharpendurance on all of social media things, facebook.com/sharpendurance, Twitter at sharpendurance, Instagram at sharpendurance. I think those are all the real things. I'm on Snapchat too, but I never use that. But I'm primarily active on those social channels and on my blog, and sharpendurance@gmail.com if they want to send me an email or hit me through my contact form on my blog like you did.
Yeah, that worked great. So, Linz, thank you so much. Yeah, like I said, this has been a lot of fun, and I wish you the best of luck and with all your races and your training and all your goals coming up.
Well, thank you, sir, very much for having me. This was a lot of fun. I'm willing to come back anytime. This was a great conversation.
I hope you were as inspired and motivated by Linz as I was. To learn more about Linz and Sharp Endurance, head over to sharpendurance.com. And you can also find the other links to connect with Linz in the show notes at usaendurance.com/024. Make sure to share this episode with your friends and subscribe so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes. And until next time, lace up those shoes, hit the trail, and train hard.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom to Run podcast. If you're ready to take your training to the next level and reach your running and fitness goals, we invite you to join the USA Endurance community at usaendurance.com.